Let me start recording. Okay, we're good. Okay, so let's see. Halacha hey, ra'ui lishol. It is worthwhile to ask. Hare klal yaduo shechachamim yam gozrim gzera legzera. As a general rule, the chachamim don't make a gzera legzera. They don't make double requirements. They don't make double decrees. Bi'ilu bi'isur le'achol basar ha'shulchan sh'yesh alav chalav. V'chein bi'isur le'efod pat chalavido bisarit. But when it comes to eating meat on the table that there is dairy, or cooking bread that has meat or dairy or meat in it, so there's a double gzera, 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 gazu gzera, gzera, shari rach basar v'chalav shin pashul yachad asurim achila me'atorah. The Torah only prohibits meat and milk that were cooked together. And the chachamim made a gzera, you should not eat a gazu chachamim shelo lechol basarim chalav gamim lo it pashul yachad. And there's a gzera of the chachamim, you shouldn't eat them together even if they were not cooked together. Umadua hosifu ligzor gzera ligzera. So why did they make a double gzera? Vasru gam lahalo basar vechalav yachad al shulchan bet asuda vechin asru lachol pat chalavit o besarit. Right, these gzerot of putting meat and milk together on the table, or of baking either meat or dairy bread, these are really a protective fence to protect somebody from eating them together. But even the eating that is together would not be eating them cooked together, be eating them cold together. And that type of eating is only asur midirabanan. So therefore, that's a gezera because of eating them cooked together. Eating them together is a gezera because of eating them cooked together. And eating them this way, eating them or eating them the dairy bread or putting them on the same table, is a gezera. You make up to eat them together. But that's still gezera like gezera. Right? So that comes out to gzera legzera. So he says, Be'aruha mefarshim. So the commentaries explain, Shebiyachas le'isur basar v'chalav, hachashash Shebiyachas le'isur basar v'chalav, hachashash mirshol gadol b'miyuchad. So he says that when it comes to the isur basar v'chalav, the risk, the danger of something going wrong is much worse. Hoyova basar b'fnei atzmo mutar. Both of them are permitted independently. And both of them can be easily found in the kitchen. And they can very easily get mixed together.
Does it apply also the refrigerator also and sink?
Drain? I don't think you need a separate drain. I don't think so.
Oh, what about refrigerator?
For what?
I ask you a refrigerator.
No, same thing. Because usually people don't put open food in the refrigerator. People, whatever you put in the refrigerator usually is wrapped or is covered or something. So you don't need separate shelves or lined shelves or anything for Pesach. We try to line the shelves or something as a heker, but normally you don't for basar bechalav. Anyway, so he says since first of all, both parties, the meat and the milk, are both permitted separately. That's number one. Number two, they're available. They're around, right? And very likely they can become mixed together. Therefore, the Chachamim had to put on extra layers of gezerah and make even gzerot the gzerot, make even decrees for their decrees to keep people away from basar b'chalav. So he says here, Rav Melamed says that even the basic gzerah of not eating them together when they're not cooked together, that requires other gzerot to protect it, to strengthen it. Lefichach, kol ha-gezerot nechshevo kizera achat shenoada levatzer et ha-hafrada shebin basar v'chalav. So therefore, we can count all the gzerot as one gezera whose purpose is to protect against basar v'chalav. Okay? Like the Lashon of the Chachamim very often say, kula chada gzera hi. It's all one gezera.
Yeah, I thought that's what it was going to say in the beginning.
Right, so that's basically what he does say in different words. The concept of the kula chada gzera, he means that the second gzera was necessary to support the first gzera. And when the Chachamim made the first gzera, they also made a second gzera at the same time. Within the same gzera, it was two steps. They put in a protection for the violation and a protection for the protection. Double layer, double level. Lo zu bilvad, not only this, ela shebechol gzerot ha'achila, hishvu basar ofechaya, shisurah b'divrei chachamim, basar b'hema, shisurah b'metara. Right? All the gzerot of basar b'chalav, there's no distinction between beef, animal, behema, and chayanof, and deer or fowl or birds, right? Some people, like, they weigh different amounts after chicken and after meat, right? There's no real basis for such an idea, because for the most part, the Chachamim did not distinguish between chicken and meat when they made their gzerot. Why? So he says, if they're lenient when it comes to the ofer the chaya, people will come to make a mistake and be lenient even with basar behema. Let's see footnote number 5. Bagimara shalu ech gazu shasur lahalot ala shulchan of im givina. Right, there's a whole sugya about this in the Gemara, about putting chicken and cheese on the table together. So the Gemara says, harezu gzera l'gzera. So it's already gzera. One gzera is don't put meat and cheese on the table together. Another gzera is don't put chicken, don't put bird, fowl and cheese on the table. That's a gzera to the gzera. Laman mikach Rav Yosef, shamishnah olechem shittat ha-tanaim asurvim shisur b'shur ofer chalav me'atara. So Rav Yosef says that, oh, we see from here that the Mishnah that says you can't put chicken and cheese on the table is following that opinion that holds that bishul of bechalav is midoraita. Ulam midivrei abaye, which we don't hold like. Ulam midivrei abaye ole she ha-mishnah gam le-Rabbi Akiva. No, our Mishnah even follows Rabbi Akiva. Shehoil v'chashash ha-mechshol gadol, v'of domeh le-basar behema, right? Chicken is very similar to beef. Gazru gzera le-gzera, they made a gzera for the gzera. V'asru gamatov, and they also forbade, made the chicken forbidden. V'chein yisak b'rambam, v'shulchan aruch, v'taz. Okay, fine. That even of b'chalav, you're not allowed to have on the same table. V'od shehoil v'chashash ha-tarovet, Bein basar v'chalav gadol, kol ha-gzerot, nashayot ki-gzera achat, sh'noda le-baseset ha-vada, mukhleta bein basar v'chalav. So since the risk of admixture between meat and milk is very great, so therefore all the gzerot are considered to be like one gzera. V'chein pirshu rashba v'ran, v'chein matun sh'gam ha-tara, hechmira me'od bistur basar v'chalav, sh'asra ota gam bahana'a. So he says the reason why the Torah is so strict about Isur Hana'ah, we've discussed this in the past, is because it's very you're very likely to get them mixed together. So therefore the Gemara, the Chachamim, had to keep you very, very far away. And I guess somehow making the product forbidden by Hana'ah makes it, protects the mixtures from getting mixed together. But for our purposes, the fact that the Chachamim felt a need to make a gzera l'gzera, and even a triple gzera, right? Think about it. Of bechalav is a story because of behema bechalav, to put it on the same table. And even behema bechalav is a gzera because of cooked meat and milk together, meat and milk that were cooked together, right? So there's several levels of gzera that were put together. You have of bechalav, gzera to basar, utter eating basar bechalav, which is utter eating basar bechalav together, which is utter eating basar bechalav cooked together. Many, many levels of gezerah. Okay. And then he says here, kemoshi isur ha'ala'a al shulchan echad b'achila chal al of bechalav, kach gam din afiyat pat b'shuman of, v'hamtana b'masar lechalav. Right? The two other major gezerot, the three major gezerot midrabanan when it comes to meat and milk together. Number one is not eating them at the same table. Number two is not cooking either meat or dairy bread. Number three is waiting, which we'll talk about later on in the next section. Next.
What about bitul shishim?
What about it?
What's the chalaf in the inside the meat part? So,
correct.
So what is that? What about that situation?
What about it? It's batel b'shishim. If it's batel, it's batel. What do you mean?
Okay, so for Pesach, there's no batel b'shishim.
Correct. On Pesach, there's no Bitul B'Shishim. Correct.
Okay.
All right. Okay. If you're asking, is there a difference in Bitul between Of B'Chalav and Basar B'Chalav? That's what I thought you were going to ask.
I mean that one. I'm asking that.
So I think there are a couple of differences which we'll get to later on. Like, for example, the Shulchan Aruch says that if I have rove already, let's say I have a mixture, and it's majority chicken and minority milk, and so the Isur potentially only be the Rabbanan. So then in that case, I'm allowed to be Marbeh Ad Shishim. I can add until Shishim to create Bitul. That's not called Bitul Isur Lechatchila. That's one situation. I think there's also, this one.
That's my question. Thanks for your answer. Okay.
I think also that there is an opinion, I'm not sure if we hold like this, that when it comes to Of B'Chalav, you can count the Isur as part of the Shishim, meaning you can have 59-1 as opposed to 60-1. I think there is such a Shita. I don't remember if we hold like that in Shulchan Aruch. Okay, let's see. Anyway, so in the third one is waiting between meat and milk. All three of these Gezerot, Midra, Banan, they didn't distinguish between meat and milk. They didn't distinguish between meat and chicken. She'ilulei ken. If it were not for this, Yivatzer Bilbul Gadol, you'll have a lot of confusion. As mentioned above in the reasoning for the gzerot. Bitachen shigam hitchashvu bedat hatanaim hasovrim shigam chayav of asurim mehatorah. So maybe there were concerns for those tanaim who held that of chalav asur mehatorah. Techin ori linhog l'maaseh l'inyan kinua chapeh ben k'mina l'of. Right, all the halachot we have, which we're going to get to later on, about cleaning one's mouth between cheese and chicken, right? Same as beef and chicken. After you eat cheese, to clean your mouth.
I bet
quinoa.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll get to that, Bezra Hashem, okay. And we'll get to the next parak.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway, so he says, "Omnam l'inyan isur bishul v'hana lo gazru l'chayavov." However, there is one situation where they were not gozer, one area midrabanan that they were gozer. They were gozer by eating on the same table. They were gozer by waiting. They were gozer by eating dairy or meat bread. However, they were not gozer on the isur bishul and the isur hana'a on chayavov. That they didn't extend. Okay. I mean, that's the oraita by the meat and milk, but then he didn't extend that to the of chalav. Okay, next. Ma'achalim asurim achirim lo gazru chachamim. Nish ein shecha chashash sheYisrael yavo lo achol mehem. So these gzirot of waiting, I guess maybe he means even having them on one table. I don't know. So they didn't chacham didn't feel a need to make a gzira in those cases because they weren't concerned their person was going to eat them. Hoil behem asurim alav legamri. Those are completely forbidden. Oh, interesting. So if you have perot orla on the table, so you should not have you should not have them on the table without some sort of heker or something that's going to remind the person not to eat the perot orla. Okay. Next. Okay. Let's talk about other forms of separation between meat and dairy foods. So here he's going to talk about the tables, right? So he says, "Harotzeh lechol basar al shulchan she'achlu alav chalav o lehefech." Let's say somebody wants to eat meat on a table that they used for dairy, or the opposite. Sarech lenakot et hashulchan mishiyarei ha'ma'achal hakodem. You have to clean the table from the leftovers of the previous meal. I think, John, this is your question, right? If you don't clean the leftover dairy from the table, asur to eat meat on the table, and vice versa. If you don't clean the leftover meat, asur to eat dairy, which is basically an extension of the halakha that we saw before, that I can't have dairy on a table with meat on it, or vice versa. Same thing with a tablecloth. Until you really clean it well. Now, if it's made out of material that absorbs, so you should wash it. You need plastic, you know. So if egg if Charlie lacha, you can just wipe it off if it's made out of plastic. Gam kashim akpidim laneich d'achleim betoch tzalachot yesh nakod shulchan bein achilat basar v'chalav. You should still do it. Okay. Not sure if he's going to talk about this, but I still think that people normally
put a tablecloth. Come on.
Yeah, usually have something. Yeah, something that that either tablecloth or placemats or something for one of the two minim. Okay, now lechem shugash basuda bisarit. If I have bread that was served at a meat meal, im yesh chashash savir shinagubo biadayim sheyesh alem shuman or rotev bisari. So if I have leftovers bread from a meat meal, I should not eat it at a dairy meal, and vice versa. If they were very careful to make sure they didn't eat, they didn't take any bread with dirty hands, so then you're allowed to. So basically, if a person wants to use his leftover challah for a dairy meal, right? The famous conundrum of if you could use your leftover challah from Shabbat lunch to make French toast on Sunday morning, right? The famous she'ela. So that depends on how careful people were not to touch the pieces. Now, Rav Moshe has a tshuva.
So it's not just a blanket rule?
So if a person specifically was careful not to touch it with dirty hands, so then it's okay. Then
yeah, he's okay. If I take like a piece of pita and give it to my kids with like cream cheese, that doesn't mean the other piece of pita would automatically be dairy.
Okay, so first of all, Rav Moshe says that this applies to pieces that are cut off from the whole. I mean, unless your hands are dirty. But I'm saying Rav Moshe says, like, if I have a loaf of bread, right? And I'm cutting from my loaf of bread. So when I cut five pieces and I put the pieces on the table, so then those pieces, which if they're eating at a meat meal, should not be eating at a dairy meal. But he says the leftovers of the loaf, unless your hands were dirty, but I'm saying, but assuming your hands weren't dirty, the leftovers of the loaf you could treat like the other, like parv completely, and you can eat them with whatever you want. Right? So if I have a bag and I'll take one piece out of the bag, right? So again, so I should just be careful that my hands are clean. But whatever it is, it's not included in this gzera. And even when I do have pieces, if I'm careful that my hands stay clean, so then I'm allowed to use it for the other min. Okay, this is actually very relevant to the holiday of Shavuot, because the Rama says, the famous Rama, that the minhag to eat dairy on Shavuot is because of this halacha. Why? He says, because the halacha is the following. You can't use the same bread that you used for your meat meal for your dairy meal. So therefore, they established the custom so that they would have a dairy meal and then they would have a meat meal. It sounds like one right after the other. They have a dairy meal and then a meat meal. So what does that accomplish? So what that accomplishes is that you're forced to have two different breads for the food, two different meals. Why do you want two different breads? So which korban do they bring on Shavuot? Shtei halacha. So as a zecher, for the korban shtei alechem, the Rama says that based on this halacha and as a zecher for the korban shtei alechem, the Rama says that we don't have bread on the same table. I'm sorry, he said that therefore we have the custom to eat dairy, so you'll be forced to eat two loaves of bread as zecher for the minhag of the shtei alechem.
Is there a play the man was fall on Shabbat? And then man, they would never fall on.
That's different. That's lecha mishnah. Lecha mishnah and shtei lechem are two different things.
Ah, okay.
Okay, fine. Let's see that. Okay. Anyway, so basically, he says that if they were careful that they shouldn't touch it with dirty hands, so then they would be allowed to eat it with the other men. Okay. Next, salatim shehukshu besuda bisari. This is a very important halakha, right? I have my hummus on my table. I have my eggplant salad, whatever, on the table, or I have a regular salad on the table. So he says, "Im yesh chashash savir shasoadim lachu mehem b'sakum shiyesh alav shiari basar, ol ein lagisha b'sudah chalavid v'chen lehem." Okay, it really depends, right? If people are using their own spoons, their own forks to take from the salad, and they may have had dirty, right? Their stuff may have had dirty, so then it's a problem. If they have their own serving pieces, we're not concerned that sometimes especially when you have little kids around, so Baruch Hashem, they take the salad servers, right? And they want to put the salad on their plate, but the salad server gets dipped into the chalent as they're putting the salad on the plate, and they put the salad server back into the salad. Okay, so then it's a problem, right? So then you have basar b'chalav. However, if they have their own serving pieces, and people are, and you're not concerned, so then mutar la'gisham ba'rucha chalavit b'chen la'hapach. Now you're allowed to do it the other one. V'yesh ma'achmim l'chatchila shekol ha'ma'achalim shehugshu b'suda b'sarit lo yugshu b'suda chalavit b'chen la'hapach. וגם המהג'ים בכך רשאים בשעת הצורך להקל כל זמן שאין חשש סביר שנתקו שיערי חלב או בשר, בסלט או בלחם. Okay? So even though if you're mahadir like this way, בשעת הצורך, it could be makel. As long as there's not a significant concern that it got mixed up, right? So like if you have, let's say a hummus, right? You have a hummus container, right? It has its own spoon. So then, again, you have to use your judgment to figure out, are we concerned that really that this spoon got stuck into somebody's meat plate or not? Okay, let's look at footnote number 6, and then we have to come back upstairs. Okay. Kasher so'adim natlu b'sakum shelahem me'asalat ha'merkazi v'yesh chashash savir shaya davuk b'mazlegot rotev basar. Wow. Since if you mix it well, so then any of the other min will become batel, so then that's okay. Wow. It's not really isur, it's heter. So you're allowed to mix it in so you can't taste the basar anymore. And also it's suffix, you don't even know if it was there to begin with. Very interesting kula. So he says if you need to, right, and if you're concerned, if you need to, you could be makel. I know the Aruch HaShulchan was one of the people that says you shouldn't serve the salads of one min at a meal with the other min, and Rabbi Forst, in his book Laws of Kashrus, he brings down this Aruch HaShulchan, and he seems to hold like this Aruch HaShulchan. Are you guys familiar with the Art Scroll Laws of Kashrus book? There's this red. Let me show you the book. It's a good book to own. It's a good reference. Very well written. Let me just hold on. I happen to have it right here. This is the Laws of Kashrus by Rabbi Binyamin Forst. So, good. He also wrote 2 volumes on Hilchot Nida for Art Scroll. He has a lot of good stuff in there. Okay, let's continue. Okay, now, Kefi Shelamadnu. Guys, am I going too fast, too slow? Is this too fast for you, or it's okay?
Good with me.
Yeah, okay. Now, kifi shelamadnu, based on what we learned earlier, ba'et achilat basar asur shi'e al shulchan chalav v'chan la'epech. So we learned earlier that if I'm eating one min, I can't have the other min on the table. Shema yit'u lo chlam yachad, because maybe I'll make a mistake and eat them together. Aval shelo b'sha'at ha'ochel mutar l'hanicham al shulchan echad. But if it's not during the meal, I'm allowed to leave it at the same table. So this is your question, right, Johnny? I'm allowed to leave it on the same shelf. I'm not sure exactly what a tarmil is. I know megare is a drawer. I'm not sure what a tarmil is. Let me just look it up. Oh, like a knapsack of some sort. I mean, that's what comes up when I search for it. Okay, anyways, it's the same bag, the same whatever, the same container. There's no problem. Okay, I guess, again, assuming they're not, you know, exposed and touching each other. Right? Make sure they don't touch each other. Just wash them off, and it's okay.
When you mean don't touch each other, you say two containers don't touch each other?
No, so I guess he means open containers, or open wrappings, whatever. Right, this is very relevant in Eretz Yisrael, right, with the milk bags, right? If it does drip, okay? So wash the meat very well. Even if it drips onto your meat, it's okay. Now, sometimes you get things that get a little tricky, like somebody once told me this happened to them, halakha l'maaseh, their yogurt, they had like some sort of yogurt, like a bowl of yogurt or something in the fridge, and it spilled on their open raw chicken. Uh-oh, that's a major problem. So in that situation, they were advised, which I think makes a lot of sense, to take the skin off the chicken and throw away, because it's probably very hard to wash out yogurt from chicken skin. It probably can get a little bit absorbed or whatever. So in that case, they were advised to take off the chicken skin. And I'm not sure if that was Baker Adin or just as an Eitzah Tova, whatever it is, but just to take it off and then to wash it. Okay.
And if the skin was already peeled off?
So yeah, so then I think you just wash it very well. I just don't think I don't think it's going to, the rest of it is pretty smooth. I don't think it's going to get, it's more the surfaces that have texture, there's more of a tendency for things to get stuck in there and to get absorbed a little bit.
Raw or cooked chicken?
Raw. But I assume cooked chicken would be, cooked chicken sounds like a little bit harder to clean well, but I guess if you could. Sure.
They're going
to
wash cooked chicken.
Yeah, so you're not going to get much left. Yeah, it's going to fall apart, whatever. It's going to. Yeah, that's
true. Yeah.
If you want to wash it as well as you need to wash, if you just rinse it a little bit, nothing's gonna happen. But to really wash it well, it's gonna fall apart. Okay. Anyways, so he says, "V'im hinicho." Hold on one second. I was still finishing upstairs. Okay. Anyways, so he says that if it touches, so then it's okay. Okay. Footnote 7. Okay,
I don't see the 7.
The footnote 7 over here. Oh, sorry, I froze my share. Okay, you see it? Footnote 7?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. So anyway, Bechulin Kufyu Ben Amud Aleph, Asru Laniach Kad Melach. I have like a little container or a pitcher of salt next to Kad Kutach. I have a like this dairy kutach was this apparently it was like a yogurt with these like pieces rotten. Of bread. Yeah, right. Rotten bread. Yeah, I'm not sure. I wanted to say spoiled. It's just like it just sounds ridiculous. But for us, like in 2020, right. to have this yogurt dish with spoiled bread inside. But apparently, this was the thing people ate, and I guess it was, you know, they liked it. Anyway, kutach is like a very classic dairy food that they use in a lot of basar b'chalav cases. So it was a very common dairy food at that time. So anyways, so the Gemara says, don't put them next to each other, this container of salt and this container of kutach. Shema yipo me'akutach la'melach. Ve'achar kach ishtamshu ba'melach ha'chalavi la'tavshel bistari. Because maybe the kutach is going to fall into the salt and then they're going to use the salt for a tavshel bistari. Dim hinichu lo ne'asar. If you put them together, it's okay. Not if it fell, but if you place them next to each other. No, when it comes to actual meat and actual milk, so that we could assume people are going to be careful. When it comes to kutach and melach, so one's part anyway, so people aren't so careful, and therefore don't do it because then it may get mixed in, and they may come to use it with the other meat. However, meat and milk, people are careful. Okay, it's like counterintuitive. You think kutach hamelach would be more kal, but really turns out to be more chamor. Okay? So there's no problem for the kutach to fall into the melach, so therefore we're afraid, so therefore don't keep them next to each other. Omnam lerama im habasar v'achlam migulim ukrovim lechatchila yesh lachmir ulmarshal midina yesh lachmir. Wow. So, for the Ashkenazim, if the meat and milk are open and they're near each other, then you should be machmir. Okay, lemaaseh, my assumption is that this does not apply when you have closed containers, right? So if I have a closed Parmesan cheese, I can leave it next to a closed salt container, and I'm not really concerned that one's going to fall into the other. They're talking about open containers where there's actual concern that one's going to fall into the other. So I'm not familiar with any halakha that you can't have closed containers of dairy and parv. I can't have my yogurt next to my cup of, bottle of juice, whatever, in the fridge. That's zelo mistaber. It's not mistaber.
Is the chumra not on just on having anything next to it, or just meat and dairy?
One more time, sorry?
Meaning that he's saying the chumrah of the Ramah was to have any meat and dairy next to each other?
Open meat and dairy next to each other. Yeah, so the Ramah says lechachila, don't do it. The Marashal says, even min hadin, it's asur, to have open meat and open dairy stored next to each other. But according to the Shulchan Aruch, it's only asur to have meat or dairy with parv next to each other. Because then you're not so careful about getting them mixed together, and therefore you may come to eat the parv with something else.
Yeah, so then it has to be what you're saying, because then you can't have meat or dairy next to anything else.
Right, so you're saying you never have, unless you had all your meat on one side, all your dairy on one side, right. All your parva on one side, whatever. But yeah, so it must be talking about open containers, right, where things can easily fall into each other, but which is pretty rare that you would store open, and I assume also doesn't mean that you can't leave one next to each other for 5 minutes. It means storage, like, long-term solutions, things that are going to be for a while. I assume that's what it's referring to. Okay, we have 5 minutes left. Let's get a jump start on the next section, section Zayin. Okay, let's see how long this one is, just so we can pace ourselves. Okay, there's no footnote. Okay, let's get started. Let's see how far this takes us. Okay. Now, let's talk about separation between kelim for basar and for chalav. So he says here, b'mitzbach shemachinim bo ma'achalim chalavim u'bisarim. So I have a kitchen.
Oh, that's my question, right?
Well, which part?
Oh, I'll talk about the single.
No, not yet. Maybe later on. Maybe later on, okay? So he says, so if I have a kitchen that's used for dairy and meat foods, so I have to designate, obviously, obviously, my meat and my milk have to be different kelim, right? Different utensils. Right? And obviously, I need to have a nikar, a recognizable difference between them. They have to look different. If I have one set of meat cutlery and one set of dairy cutlery and they look the same, so what's the point, right? What did I accomplish, right? They look the same. You're getting mixed up. Right? Not only my pans and pots have to be different, even my cutlery has to be different, my plates have to be different. Okay, I think that's pretty straightforward. Most people do that, right? Even though you could argue maybe you don't really use them for clearly shown, you don't really use them for very hot things, but Lama said they have to be separate. They have to be very distinct. Right? At the end of the day, I probably do use them for some clearly shown also, anyways. Not only should they be look different, they should also have a separate places, right? Don't have one drawer where I throw in all my meat and dairy forks together, right? Or one section in my cutlery holder that's a mixture of my meat and dairy knives. That doesn't make sense. Gam kasher ochlim ma'achalim karim b'sarim ochalavim. Even I'm eating cold. Mina gisra lishma la'afrada bin akelim. I don't just pick, I'm having ice cream. I don't just pick my meat soup bowls to eat my ice cream in. Even though technically nothing wrong, right? But mina gisra I have everything separate. I cold dairy I serve in dairy kelim, and cold meat I serve in meat kelim. Kedei limno mechshol v'irbuv b'nehem, in order to protect one from making a mistake.
Does it apply to a microwave and an oven?
So we're going to get to those later on. But microwaves for sure. Microwaves for sure. You can't use the same microwave for meat and dairy, because they're, unless you always seal one of them. If you always keep one of them sealed, so then it's okay. But to open meat and open dairy for a microwave for sure is not a problem. Ovens, there's more room for leniency, but even ovens, it's really appropriate to have a separate meat and separate dairy ovens. Okay, or to always keep one covered whenever you cook it inside the oven. Okay.
Meaning, I want to ask you this question. Meaning, if you want to do an chag shavuot, we have not so much time to do cooking. So I want to do do half and half meat and dairy. Can we do covering the meat and dairy and we put it in the oven at the same time?
Yes, as long as everything is covered, then it's no problem. You can do meat and dairy at the same time in the oven. As long as the pans are clean, you don't have anything dripping out of the pans, and the pans are completely covered, then it's no problem. Always double covering is always a slight advantage, because in case one covering tears, especially when you're dealing with high steaks, you have meat and milk in the oven at the same time. I would call that high steaks. Maybe it's not a bad idea to have double coverings, but technically one level of covering, should be sufficient. We personally, what we do in our house is we have a double oven. So one we use for meat, and the other one my wife actually prefers to leave as parv, and she uses that for her baking, so that all her baking is not meat or dairy. And then we have a pretty big toaster oven, which we use for dairy. Like, it can hold a 9x13 pan. Like, it's a big enough toaster oven to hold a 9x13 pan, and we use that for our dairy. Wow. That's been our
if the oven's not used for 24 hours of the baking,
so then if it's not used for 24 hours, so then there's definitely room to be lenient. I think it's advisable to run it on its high setting. Meikar Adin, I'm sure we'll get to ovens later. Meikar Adin, really, the only things that are really a problem in ovens are liquids, exactly. So if you're putting dry challah into an oven, and the oven is clean, you're not going to have things like dripping into your dry challah, right? Your oven is clean, so then it should be okay. You know, some people say like the fat, like oil, like grease gets stuck to the oven, it's a problem. I don't know. I can't say yes or no about that. But if your challah is dry, it should be okay. And you should be able to cook it in either meat or dairy oven, and it should not affect the min. However, I think if a person can, it's advisable to burn out the oven if it's not been used in 24 hours, and burn it out between meat and dairy. Worst case scenario, it probably would be considered to be not bar not, meaning it would be considered to be Tom Shani of Basar B'Chalav, which hopefully we'll get to also, which for Sephardim is not really such a big deal. It's really more for Ashkenazim that Tom Shani is an issue. Tom Shani, you wouldn't eat it with the other min lechatchila, meaning if I had a challah that was cooked in a meat oven, so then I wouldn't eat it with dairy lechatchila, or vice versa. But for Sephardim, you can even eat it with the other min, and Rav Avadia holds that you can even cook it with intention, which is a big chidush, that's like a major chidush. You can even cook not bar not with intention to eat it with the other min, but that's to be TBD when we get to Blin Eder, when we get to not bar not. Hopefully Hashem will bless us to get that far. Okay, let's see. Let's do maybe one more paragraph, and then we'll hold it here, and then hopefully we'll try to pick up with this section next time. Rabim noagim liached shtei malchiot. Many have the custom to have two salt shakers. Achal aruchot chaleviot v'achal aruchot misariot. Mipnei shelitim amalachim nogot malchalim. Sometimes the salt shakers touch the food. Litim nogim b'melachia b'yadayim imrotes. Sometimes your hands are dirty. You have some sauce on your hands when you touch the salt shaker.
We're not concerned about the steam for that, are we?
Usually not. It's rare, anyways, that your food is that hot. However, if a person is pouring from a salt shaker directly into a pot, in that case, it would be advisable to either hold it sort of high enough that there's not, my wife does that, she holds it high enough so that the steam mostly dissipates, or to pour into one's hand and then pour from one's hand into the pot. To any, if you have actually meat or dairy in the pot, it is advisable. So, but like the steam on your plate is probably not, my guess is it's not hot enough to cause any issues. The issue there, you may run into some issues of ba'en, of like actual pieced particles, so to speak, of the steam that gets stuck to the salt inside the salt container, but I'm not sure about that. Okay. Anyways, we said sometimes you'll have yadayim and rotev, you'll have saucy hands. If you're going to use one salt shaker for both minim, so there's a concern that maybe it's going to get mixed together. So he says, if you want to use one salt shaker for meat and milk together, kol hakavod, you could. However, just make sure that it doesn't get dirty. If it does get dirty, make sure that you clean it before you use it for the other min. Okay, let's see how much the other. Should we try to finish? You know what? It's two paragraphs.
Yeah, let's
do it. If you guys are in, let's do it. Okay. Hamishtamshim bebakbukim sheyesh bahem retavim, rotvim, or ketchup, or sudat chalaviot besariot. So we're going to have pia lo tigav machalim. So if you're going to use the same ketchup bottle for meat and milk, be careful that the top doesn't touch the foods. Kedei shelo yidbak ba mashu mina machalim achalavim or besarim. So nothing gets stuck. V'chetz rechim lakbid shelo nengo bekelim halalo biyadaim shedavuk bahem shemetz retivut shel machale basar chalav. So if you have something that's some sauce or something, be careful that it does some moisture from meat or milk, be careful it doesn't get on the bottle. So you should dry off the kli and its opening, whatever, its mouth. So they don't have any mixtures from one to the other. I have heard many people advise that people who have little kids at home, very often the little kids may, you know, when they're squeezing out the ketchup, they may like stick it into the food, whatever. So there, it is advisable, and this is what we have been doing the last couple of years, that we have separate meat and dairy ketchups. But mikar din, as long as you're careful that things don't get dirty, it's mutar. Magash shel kise tinok. Ooh, this is a major issue. Okay, and we're struggling with this also. Okay, a high chair. High chair trays. Usually you don't put really hot food on it. Just clean it well. If you're going to put really hot food on it,
So the tinuk is not really important. You know, it's not, they don't understand what's basar and chalav. They're not
it's
in
true,
the...
It's true, but I'll tell you two things. Number one, you're not allowed to give isur to a katan biyadayim, even a tiny baby. You're not allowed to give him isur biyadayim. You're not allowed to hand him isur to eat. Okay, so that's number one. So if it's really asur, so you can't give it to him to eat. If he takes it, it's different. You don't necessarily have to stop him, but you can't give it to him to eat. That's number one. And number two is that especially by kashrut, there's a concept of timtum halev, that the kashrut can affect the spirits, the heart, the neshama of a person. So therefore, we're extra careful when it comes to the kashrut, when it comes to even little children, even if they're not old enough to know the difference, and other violations, we wouldn't be so careful. But when it comes to kosher or not kosher, we're very careful, even when it comes to little babies, which is really the reason behind we have all these, and it sort of ties back to the beginning of the shiur, the reason why we have all these chumrot, all these stringencies when it comes to meat and milk, the real reason is, and one of the reasons, I can't say the real reason, one of the reasons is because we have, the stakes are so high, because the kiddusha of ma'achal, the kiddusha of food, is so at such a high level, and it affects a person in such a way, and we have concept to live, so we are very careful when it comes to kashrut, and we add extra boundaries and extra limits and extra levels of being careful when it comes to meat and milk, specifically because kashrut is so high stakes and it's so important.
So this is only if you're putting both yad saletabo dairy and yad saletabo meat, right?
So that's what it sounds like what he said at the end. He said that if you're going to sometimes put yad saletabo food on the tray, so then what you should do is you establish the tray as either meat or milk. But he said you still could put the other one on, just make sure it's clean, right, and make sure that the other one is not hot. So meaning I could have a meat tray.
At the same time?
No. He's just saying let's say I put a boiling hot meatball on my tray, on my kid's tray. So the baby's tray is now meat. Now if I want to have dairy on it, I have to clean the tray very well, right? And I can't use any hot dairy. I can only use cold dairy on that tray. That's what he's saying. Or whatever.
Even after it's clean?
If I use yad soledibo meat, I should not use yad soledibo dairy on the tray, even if the tray is clean. That's what he's saying.
Oh, okay.
If neither the meat or the milk is yad soledibo, so just make sure the tray is clean. You can go back and forth. But if either the tray or if the food is yad soledibo for either meat or dairy, I should establish the tray as being either meat or dairy. And then the other min, I could still put on the tray, but make sure the tray is clean. And the second min is not yad soledibo. That's what he says.
So I think for a little child, it apply as like an adult, or there's not it's no issue for them.
No. It's not like there's an isur for the child, especially if he's not higia l'chinuch. He didn't reach the age of chinuch, so there's no isur for the child. However, there's an inyan called tinkun halev of the heart. The heart has to be pure. So therefore, we're careful. We're very careful, even with young children, as to how we take care of them and how we make sure that their food is kosher, even though they're not.
Yeah, for sure, it'd be kosher, man. We're talking about meat and dairy. You could feed them meat and dairy at the same time.
No.
I mean, he finished eating.
Okay, so that's the question. So even that poskim say only b'makom tzorech. Only if there's a need.
At the same time, once you finish eating, then you could feed them dairy after that.
Even that, the poskim say only b'makom tzorech. Should you do it? Only b'makom tzorech should you give them one right after the other. The two together, you for sure shouldn't. And even one after the other, only b'makom tzorech, only when there's a case of need, should a person do that.
How should one try to train his child not to do that?
So you know,
it seems to be a problem in my case.
it depends how old they are. You know, I mean, if they're very little,
pick them up in the chat, in the kosher chat.
Really? So what do they say?
Batala was saying that, I mean, for every kid it's different, and you train your kid based on them. You know, if they don't know the difference between 15 minutes and an hour, and as long as they know the concept of waiting, that's the chinuch.
Right, but I would say, you know, it depends on how old the child is, depends on what, you know, what the, where the child is holding and what, you know, and what they're doing. But, and how, you know, and how big of a deal it is for the, you know, sometimes you have to, it's not worth the fight, you know, if he's already waited a certain amount of time. But I think especially when kids reach the age of 6 or 7 and they're higia lechinuch, and they're already beginning to understand what the mitzvot are, we try to encourage them to wait 6 hours, but you know, between meat and milk when they're younger. So then it's, you know, it, you know, but even then I've seen teshuvot from poskim that say that even a young child, a person should try to keep 6 hours between me and dairy. Sometimes it's just not practical.
And I think they don't hold it 6 hours. They keep us 3 hours.
I'm sorry?
Ashkenazim, they hold in 3 hours.
Yeah, I'm talking about Sfaradim right now. I mean, even Ashkenazim, the Shulchan Aruch, Ramah, Shach Taz, I mean, look at the Shach. The Shach says 6 hours. He doesn't, no messing around. Shach is very serious about this. Even Ashkenazim should keep 6 hours. So Ashkenazim have minagim of 5.5 into the sixth, etc. But even Ashkenazim, the Shach says they should keep 6 hours. Again, there are Ramah quotes the customs of people even less 1 hour, whatever. I mean, there's more mekel customs and.
Ideally, for a kid, they're saying you should do at least 1 hour.
Yeah, okay, because then you're following the Ramah's psak of 1 hour. So at least you accomplish that, And even the Ramah's psak is really built off as long as it's not in the same meal. Right. All the Gemara says, right, that Haida Achil Basara Bahai Sudata Lo Yuchal Chalva Ad Sudata Achrita, whatever. Somebody who ate meat in one meal should not eat dairy until the next meal. That's all the Gemara says. So then the Chachamim, I'm sure we'll get to it in Pinin Halacha, but the Chachamim said, okay, so that means one meal to the next. The normal time to eat one meal to the next is 6 hours. That's how we get to 6 hours. And then the places where they had fewer hours to eat meals, so they developed other customs, and the Dutch have the custom to wait 1 hour, and the Ramah mentions whatever. And there's all these different shitots, but you're right. I mean, Ikar Hadin, so as long as it's not in one meal, as long as you stop the one meal, then there's what to rely on. But again, I've seen poskim that say that for young children, people, again, it has to be reasonable. Sometimes it may not be worth the battle. You may not, it's yasas charo behefsedo. If you have a 3-year-old and you're going to make a big fight about waiting 6 hours, it may not be worth it. But you have to judge the child, judge the circumstances, and judge, but a person should try.
Yeah, so as long as they wait something, it's okay. Under the age of 5.
Again, you have to judge each case. You have to use your judgment to figure out what makes the most sense in this case for this child at this time. What's the most case? But I've definitely seen the idea of trying to train the even young children.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
sure. He's probably going to talk about it.
Yeah, I assume he'll get to. He's definitely going to talk about waiting between meat and milk, and I assume he'll get to. The idea of a katan. I'm curious actually to look in Yalkut Yosef and he has Dinei Chinuch Katan. I'm curious to see what he says about waiting between meat and milk.
I would think that he's lenient. I'm not 100% sure,
let me look up Yalkut Yosef Dinei Chinuch Katan. Hamtana ben basar vechalav. He actually is pretty lenient. Yeah. Let me see what he says over here. Let me look for.
Yeah, he has a whole section here on Katanim that we'll get to.
Oh, really? About waiting?
Yep.
Okay, so he says, 1 second. Here, let's read what Yaakov Yosef says. Once the topic came up, we might as well, let's see what he says, okay? Katan sha'achal ma'achalei basar. אפשר להקל לו לאכול אחר כך מאכלי חלב מבלי לשעות 6 שעות מאכילת בשר. מותר אף לתת לו ולהאכילו בידיים, מפני שיש צער לקטנים להמתין 6 שעות. So since קטנים, it's very hard for them to wait 6 hours, you don't want to be מצטער, they want to be מצער them, you don't want to be מצער them for this. ואף לאחר שעה, מקל בזה לקטנים, יש לו מה לסמוך, even after 1 hour you have what to rely on. וכל זה שאוכל מאכל חיוני לצורך סעודה. That's reading something necessary for the meal. But in la keli tenli tinokot sheigiu lechinuch mamtakim shokolad sheyesh b'hem tarov and chalav b'toch sheish ol lemachle basar. Okay, so once you get to higiyah lechinuch, if it's food they need, right? They're hungry. It's like real substantive food. You could be lenient when it's higiyah lechinuch. But for snacks, for treats, you should not be lenient and wait less than 6 hours for higiyah lechinuch. Va'af b'tinok sheino bar havana. So he says, even if a child doesn't understand, you shouldn't give him treats within 6 hours. Because ולהזירם שלא יאכלו מאכלי חלב אחר אכילת בשר, עד שישו 6 שעות בינתיים. Once they get to a year before Bar Mitzvah, so then they should be machmir.
I was right. So therefore, they're never more machmir. So
I'm sorry.
I said at Tinuk, they're not really machmir. They're not supposed to be machmir like an adult.
They are, or they're not.
They're not.
So he says you don't need to. He says, "V'chayom noagim lakmid gam bekatan shigia lechinuch." So he says the minhag is to be makmid even for katan shigia lechinuch.
For treats.
No, for everything. I mean, treats he said to be machmir above. It sounds like for everything. No, if it's shigia lechinuch, right? He says kol she'ochel machal chinuch tishukzav. Ein lakel, don't be makel for everything else, right? And even if he's not bar havana, it's good to be machmir for everything, for the treats. However, good to mechanech lektanim shachal megiel bar mitzvah. I mean, this sounds like even for ma'achal chiyuni, for substantive food. Ulaziram shelo yochum ma'achleya chalav acharech le'basar. Ashi yishu sheshaot bentayim. V'chayom noagim lakmid gam bekatan shigiyah lechinuch. V'chanchim otam lamtin sheshaot, ach b'makom tzorech afshar lakel v'chamor. So basically, it sounds like this. Once they reach chinuch, so mi'ikar hadin, it's mutar. To give, they don't have to wait 6 hours. If they wait 1 hour, it's okay. However, he says the minhag is to be machmir to have them wait 6 hours, but b'makom tzorech, you can be mekel. If it's less than, if it's younger than higia lechinuch, so then don't give them treats that are dairy after they've had meat within 6 hours. However, by everything else, it sounds like you can be mekel. So let's say you had a meat lunch and, you know, your child takes a nap and now they wake up from their nap and they want to have their dairy bottle and they're 2 years old. So he says, no problem. In that case, no problem. Okay?
We're going to get to it, but he has a similar approach here. He gives different advice based on the ages also of the kids.
Of the kids. Okay, good. So
3 to 5, 5, 6.
Oh, really? Oh, interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Okay, looking forward.
Well, my time is, let me ask you a quick question. Sure. Right in the adult, I'm talking about adult, yeah. Ashkenazim, they hold 3 hours, and then
not all Ashkenazim. Only German Jews wait 3 hours.
Yekims, yeah.
Yeah, only the Yekim. Not even that. I'm not even sure it's all the Yekis, but it's only amongst the Yekis that they wait 3 hours.
Does it imply in America? Are you talking about?
Yeah. I believe so. That if somebody has that custom from Europe. So they continue that custom even in America. Yeah.
With all the Ashkenazim, they all came from Europe. So that's their custom.
No, but again, it's only the German Jews, only the Western European Jews. The Eastern European Jews never had that custom of 3 hours. It was only the German Jews had that custom of 3 hours. But if they come from...
German Jews, are they don't hold like in Ramah?
Well, the Ramah mentions 1 hour, I believe. If I remember correctly, the Ramah mentions that one idea of 1 hour. So it's already mentioned in the Ramah, this idea of waiting 1 hour. So it has basis. I think the Ramah mentions it as a custom that exists. I don't remember exactly how the Ramah formulates it. I haven't seen it in a long time.
So Ramah is not so machmir like the Shulchan Aruch.
Correct. Because he mentions the more lenient opinions. However, I think even amongst Ashkenazim, most Ashkenazim wait at least till the beginning of the 6th hour.
Why is that? What was it for?
Good. There are the other Rishonim, the Rambam, the
Shach. He's going to talk about all of it.
Okay, so yeah. So, John, hopefully, Bezra Hashem, we'll get to it when we get to that section.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.